It is a pleasure to introduce our next instructor based in London. Malika Polraj serves as an investment coach for wealthy families and high net worth individuals. Born in India, Malika moved to Silicon Valley as a child, graduating from Palo Alto High School and attending Stanford University in the 1990s. She worked for several startups and had a ringside seat at the rise and fall of the 90s tech bubble. Malika is author of How the Best Invest, Make Decisions Like the Investing Superstars. It's a book that I highly recommend. Quantitatively trained, Malika began her career as a programmer in Silicon Valley and has worked at Lehman Brothers, Trucost, now S&P, MSCI Barra, and several funds. She has been a guest lecturer at London Business School on value investing and Stanford University on sustainable investing. Malika has a BA from Stanford University, an MSc from the London School of Economics, and has completed the investment management program at London Business School. On behalf of the MY Global membership community, a very warm welcome back to you, Malika. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you very much, John. This is my third presentation for MOI Global, the European Investing Summit, and I'm very pleased to be back. This year I have surprise, surprise, an automotive company called the Dürr Group, which is based in Germany. And this idea is basically for very patient investors. I think it's a very good company, but because the sector is facing such headwinds, I think the company is also not in trouble, but the share price is down. And so, but I think if you're a patient investor, this is probably a very good thing to go look at. So basically, at the end of the car being put together, it needs to be painted. It needs to have systems installed. All the conveyor belts need to kind of come together. And there's a company that does that and has significant market share in this space, and it's called Dürr. And it's as I said, it's a small to mid cap with very concentrated shareholding, established in Germany in 1895. Almost 30% of the ownership is still in the family's hands. And the automotive sector, as we all know, is going through sea changes, all these things going on. But at the end of the day, the cars still need to be painted at the end, whether it's whoever's buying it, whether it's an electric vehicle or it's a self-drive car, it needs to be finished off. And you need those conveyor belts and robots to help do that. And this is the company that is kind of premier in that space. So my investment summary, Dürr is basically a leading mechanical and plant engineering firm. It does paint, car assembly or transport assembly, and as well as woodworking. The woodworking bit is from a acquisition they made in 2014. It has premier customers, BMW, IKEA, and Tesla. It's a constituent of the German MDAX, which is, I know a lot of your American members would have heard of the DAX 30. Those are the largest German companies, but there's also the MDAX, which is the 60 next largest companies in Germany, which is very, very interesting to look at. Dürr basically works under the group, has three big brands: Dürr, which is the automotive one, Schneck, which is like a testing and balancing brand, and then HOMAG, which is the woodworking brand. The market cap as of yesterday stood at 1.7 billion euros. And I think much of that is because they've had slight weakening orders, but mostly because of the trouble the automotive sector is in. So firstly, the automotive sector is only half their revenues. They also sell to railways, and they're also in China quite a lot. And the share price is down 60% since its November 2017 peak. So this is an interesting company to look at a, what one could argue quite a good price. So basically, some of my thesis arguments, all this data, by the way, is from the company financial publications, except for the bits I will point out. The automotive sector makes up 55% of their sales. They have, pretty much every big car company as a client. the woodworking. They have clients like IKEA. So, you know, IKEA manufactures furniture for us, but they have to do it on they have to do it with machines, and Dwar is the one that makes the machines. So basically, it's the worldwide leading supplier of efficient production technologies, and it's really going to digitization in a big way. The main drivers for growth are automation, bringing together all its expertise in a digitized format, and network production, like talking to different parts of the supply chain. It's a global leader with a strong competitive position in all of the businesses it operates. They've managed to, in the last 10 years or so, move about 40 to 50% of their business volume from emerging markets, especially China. It's very well positioned against competition. The major customer groups are automotive, furniture, and general industry. They're very, because of their certain types of technology and the way they paint, EVs, electric vehicles, have a growing importance for them. And we'll see why that's important in a second. So this is a report. This is a snapshot of a report from McKinsey & Company. They did earlier this year, they did a report called Race 2050, like where the European automotive industry needs to concentrate in the next 30 years to really not become irrelevant. And there's just I think it's quite an interesting graph, because you can see that despite the 2008 slump in car sales, the German automotive industry is really powered on and come back. But there's a do nothing, there's these scenarios going forward, where if the government does nothing or the car and the industries do nothing, it'll probably lose share. But because the Europeans are so innovative in the automotive industry, if they can bring together good business models and ride the waves, I think there's a great scope for keeping on that trajectory. And as you can see, like for many years, they have managed to do that. So let's see. The other big thing going on is the electric vehicle change in electric vehicle behavior. And you can see in 2014 to 2017, there was some increase in the US and EU customers buying EVs. But in China, there's this huge jump, which surprised me. So that's why I thought I'd bring in this graph. And Dwar is very well positioned because of its technology to take advantage of electric vehicles and battery operated vehicles. So going to the share price, as you can see, it's not doing very well. Basically in November 2017, it was at a peak. It recovered very well from the 2008 crisis. But now with the headwinds facing the automotive industry and a little bit of weakening in their order book, they have come down significantly, and it's trading now at €24, €25. The last couple of years, a dividend has been about €1, a little bit less, a little bit more. And if you think about that, if you're paying €25 a share and you get €1 back, that's like a 4% return at this point, just to buy that share. Their intent is to distribute 30 to 40% of their income in dividends. So I think this is, it's been a stock that's, I don't know if cyclical is the right word, but it does come up and down. Their order book has been very strong. And even though we are in a difficult environment in 2019, they still have, you can see the first half of 2019 has still been quite strong. They have, what I like about them, or what appear like my investigation of them, they have a long-standing resilience. So one, they're an owner operator. The company is very heavily owned by the family. They've been around since 1895, seen all these changes. I think this is quite interesting. If you look at the number of paint robots they've sold, even in the 2008 crisis, they really didn't stop their trajectory of sales. And the important thing, now they're trying to move their model to have a third of their revenues come from servicing and their current, all the installed equipment they have, like operations, O&M, operations and maintenance. And now suddenly they have all this huge base of of machines out there that they've manufactured, and they're in great position to look at. And I personally have done well with companies that get a lot of their revenues from O&M, like the elevator companies like Otis and ThyssenKrupp. And I just think that that's a model that works well for these kind of companies. They have five divisions, five types of products. So I'm just going to quickly go through each one and just give you some basic numbers so you get an idea of what the company does. So the first part is they're one of their biggest revenue earners, which is paint and final assembly systems. These are turnkey paint shops for the big OEMs, final assembly systems like conveyor belts and control systems. This is very big for them in China, and it's benefiting from the EV trend. This brings in about $1.2 billion, and it has about 3,470 employees in this division. And you can see their incoming orders are, you know, still, given this year, it's quite good for matching last year's orders. The second bit is called application technology. This is like actually how the head of the paint robot works, and gluing together and sealing together bits of the cars. These are high-tech systems and it has to have a lot of software that coordinates all this. The economic lifetime of these paint robots is 12 to 15 years, and the replacement cycle is just beginning because they've been doing this for 12 to 15 years. And there's also that strong service potential I talked about. This is currently bringing in $0.7 billion for 2018 and has about 2,250 employees. And obviously, because we've had this weakening in the automotive sector, there has been this fall off in 2019, which I'm sure is like scared a lot of people who want to hold shares for just like a couple of quarters or less than a year. But for those of us who have the luxury of holding longer, I think it's interesting to look at. The third area they have is called clean technology systems. This also has huge regulatory drivers for noise pollution, air pollution, and noise abatement. But only a very small part of this the automotives use. The rest is from general industry, especially railways. So it's not really correlated with the automotive sector. So I think that's quite good. They had to write down some a division there, and they had an acquisition, which is kind of just playing itself out. So this is again there, and this brought in just 0.2 billion euros, and it has about 1,400 employees in this sector, in this division. This is a very interesting. The next one is called Measuring and Process Systems. Basically, when you do make these cars, you have to at the end of it, no matter how good the BMWs are or they have to be checked, and the brakes have to be aligned, the headlamps have to be aligned, the paint quality needs to be checked, the wheels need to be aligned. They have to set all the driver software up and test all the electronics. And this, of course, like this has to be done quite automated, and this is something they produce. And it's extremely, I think because it's all so software based, it's very, very, profitable and scalable, and they really are getting in with a lot of the Chinese manufacturers here. So this is a fourth division that I think is set to do very well. And the fifth and fifth one, which goes under the trade name of HOMAG, is woodworking and machinery. The market really didn't like them when they bought this in 2014, but it's been growing really well. The major customers are the furniture industry and construction supplies and timber home construction. This industry has always been kind of mom and pop and very labor intensive, and now there's a strong need for automation. HOMAG is the one that can deliver these sort of ready-to-go systems. And this division has been suffering a little bit this year. So they've been not hiring as much, and but their or incoming orders have been quite good in the past. So now that I've gone through the five divisions, I'm going to go through some of the good things that are happening for the company and the positives. The first thing is they're really very strong on digitization. They're taking the Internet of Things and they've created these apps, and there's so many complex parts going around with the making of these cars. You have to track these systems, and they're basically allowing on the factory floor, you can track these systems on apps, and it's just all very good. And they have these names going on, Atomos and things like that. So they're really putting a lot of CapEx into that. The other thing I like is they're moving to this service model where they're trying for a third of their revenues for servicing spare parts, maintaining things they already have installed, and making modifications and upgrades. And basically all divisions are showing growth in this for the first half of 2019. The third sort of good thing that's happening for the company is that year on year, all the big OEMs are showing they're putting more and more CapEx into investing in their technology. So you can see it's these companies invested about $43 million, and that's, you know, they've gone up about 50% by the time we're in the 2019s. So that's just how they remain competitive. And so they have to buy the best equipment to remain quite competitive. And some of that equipment will, of course, come from Dwyer. I think it's interesting to look at their new customers and that includes Tesla and a lot of the Chinese companies. So I think that's quite telling about where their future growth is going to come from. The ownership is also something that attracts me. You can see that the family, this is like the grandson or the great grandson of the original person who founded the company, and their family, and they have these institutionals that have been for them for the longest time. That's about 30%. If you take the institutionals, it goes up to about 46%. So these people will stay invested in the company, even though the share price is at 24 compared to 60 a year ago, 2 years ago. Going back to their share price, here I think it's interesting comparing them against the other German companies. The yellow here is the DAX, the top 30 German companies. The red is the MDAX, which is the next 60 German companies. So basically this is the top 100 German companies, and you can see they've really outperformed. The market didn't like them here because of that HOMAG acquisition. And then obviously we have the weakening kind of automotive conditions here. Basically they've ridden over the Chinese market fear, Chinese slowdown fears, and all kinds of things. And you can see that, you know, in the last decade, they've managed to outperform both these indexes of their close to peers, I would say. So I've given a very positive story. Obviously there's a very negative story is for this company and the automotive sector. Firstly, the global economy, emerging market slowdown, goodness knows what's happening with the at this point, the globalization and the political climate in the world. The automotives are in this multiple disruptive race, this electronic race to make them more dependent on software. We're moving from internal combustion engines to electric vehicles, and we don't know who will win there. There's all this carbon and climate change regulation coming in, as well as pollution, other kinds of pollution, and just customers, because they're cheaper in the long run, wanting electric vehicles. Then there's this whole, are we really going to replace our cars? Is self-drive going to come in? The robo on-demand cars, is Uber going to win? Or, you know, all these things that are kind of really testing the automotive sector right now. And all of that, and to that I say, well, all of them at the end of the day need paint. Those cars need to be, whatever vehicles we are in need to be painted. And I think this company is in a good position to help do that. So, and that's the end for me, John. Thank you very much.
Malika, thank you so much for the presentation. Perhaps we could start a question on the management. If you could just elaborate a little bit on their incentives, please.
I think so basically the company is held by the family, but no actual, from what I can see, no family members actually on the management committee. It's very Germanic in its operating. You know, they just have, they don't have massive stock options or anything. They're well paid. But I think it's quite aligned with the family. And it's, from what I can see, they're all handpicked and been there. They've all been there for a very, very long time.
In terms of the revenue concentration, are there some large relationships that stand out with, let's say, German automakers?
I don't think so. I think it's about half and half in terms of their European clients and their Asian clients. I think basically after the 2008 crisis, they wanted to diversify. So they diversified both geographically and they diversified by having this woodworking and going more into automation and measuring and things like that and getting away from just paint. So they previously did, but now they're much more into they're spread out and they're going into all kinds of new areas such as painting. There's all these kind of smaller revenue streams from painting things for needed for food production, at the end of food production, and vacuum cleaners and things like that. There's a lot of equipment that needs to be painted in probably your computers too. So they're diversifying into that. So yeah, they've definitely not super dependent on a single OEM.
With regard to capital allocation, is there anything you'd like to see the management prioritize differently?
I think they're doing a pretty good job. In terms of apps and software, I just think that's a very kind of, they're putting a lot of effort into that. And I think that's always, I think that's just, that's still for me out. Still, there's a question mark over whether that's going to be worth it, because who's going to win in that space and things like that. And it's just very, very complex to do by software. So I think there's this drive for factory manufacturing to try and automate everything as quickly as possible using software. But I think there's still going to be this huge labor component. So I think that might be a question mark there.
For somebody interested in tracking this idea over time, what would be some key data points to keep an eye on?
I would just look at their incoming order book. Every quarter they publish that. They're covered by about 20 analysts. And I think the share price they're kind of aiming for right now, the consensus price is about 31 euros. So maybe keep an eye on that. That's what I would look at.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I would just encourage our members to feel free to follow up with you with their own thoughts or questions, either directly or to contact us, and we will be happy to facilitate an introduction.
Yes, no problem. At all.
Malika, thank you so much for being with us once again and for taking the time to share this idea with our members. We truly appreciate it.
Perfect, John. Thank you so much for inviting me again. And I'm so honored and pleased to be part of the MOI global community. And I really enjoyed my my day with you all in New York 2 weeks ago. So thank
Wonderful.
You.
And Wonderful.
I love doing this. So please ask me again.
Wonderful. And I'll just remind everyone that Malika does have a book out or very soon. And I encourage everyone to order that as well.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Goodbye for now.
Bye-bye.